Chanting nada más.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
A reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 4, Chapter 30.
From Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto
the Activities 4, of the Bichetas, Text 33.
The Activities of the Bichetas, Yavate Maya,
sorry.
Yavate Maya Yasmrishta. Ramanaya Karmabi Tavat Bhavat Prashandanam Sangha Shanna Bhave Bhave Yavate Maya Yasmrishta Brahmanaya Kamabi Tavat Bhavat Prasandanam Sangha Shanno Bhave Bhave Yavate Maya Yasprishta Brahmanaya Kamabi Tavat Bhavat Prasanganam Sangha Shanno Bhave Bhave Yavate Maya Yasprishta Brahma Maya Kamabi Tavat Bhavat Prasanganam Sangha Shanno Bhave Bhave Yavate Maya Yasprishta Brahma Maya Kamabi Tavat Bhavat Prasanganam Sangha Shanno Bhave Bhave
Yeah.
Yavat. As long as. Te. Your. Mayaya. By the illusory energy. Shprishta. Contaminated. Brahmama. We wander. Iha. In this material world. Karma bi. By the reaction of fruitive activities. Tavat. So long. Bhavat prasanganam. Of your loving devotees. Sangha. Association. Shat. Let there be. Na. Our. Bhave bhave. In every species of life. Translation. Dear Lord, as long as we have to remain within this material world due to our material contamination and wander from one type of body to another and from one planet to another, we pray that we may associate with those who are engaged in discussing your pastimes. We pray for this benediction, life after life, in different bodily forms and on different planets. Please repeat. Dear Lord, as long as we have to remain within this material world, due to our material contamination, and wander from one type of body to another, and from one planet to another, we pray that we may associate with those who are engaged in discussing your pastimes. We pray for this benediction, life after life, in different bodily forms and on different planets. Purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada Ki. This is the best benediction that a devotee can ask of the Supreme Lord. This is also confirmed by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Stane Stita Shuti Gartam Tanuvan Manubi, Bhagavatam 10.14.3. One may be in one position or another according to destiny, but in any case, one must continue to hear about the activities and pastimes of the Supreme Lord, regardless of circumstances. A pure devotee does not pray for liberation or for the cessation of the cycle of birth and death because he does not consider that important. The most important thing for a devotee is getting a chance to hear about the pastimes and glories of the Lord. The devotees who engage in the service of the Lord in this world will have the same opportunity in the spiritual world also. Thus, for a devotee, everything is in the spiritual world. For as long as he can hear about the pastimes of the Lord or whatever he can chant, the Lord is personally present. Tatra tista minarada yatra gayanti madbhakta. When the pure devotees assemble to chant, hear, and talk about the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the place where they assemble becomes Vaikuntha. For the devotee, there is no need to pray to the Lord for transferal to the Vaikuntha world. A pure devotee can create Vaikuntha or Vrindavan anywhere simply by chanting the glories of the Lord without offense. The Prachetas pray for an opportunity to hear of the glories of the Lord in every form of life. Bhave, bhave. A living entity transmigrates from one body to another. The devotee is not particularly eager to stop this process. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu prays, Mama jamam mijamishve bhaktatad bhaktir ahuitaki twai. My dear Lord, life after life, may I be fixed in your pure devotional service. Out of humility, a devotee considers himself unfit to be transferred to the spiritual world. He always thinks himself contaminated by the modes of material nature, nor is there any need for a devotee to ask to be free from the modes of material nature. Devotional service itself is in the transcendental position. Therefore, there is no question of asking for this special facility. The conclusion is that a pure devotee is not anxious to stop the repetition of birth and death, but is always eager to associate with other devotees who are engaged in chanting and hearing about the glories of the Lord. Translation again. Dear Lord, as long as we have to remain within this material world due to our material contamination and wander from one type of body to another and from one planet to another, we pray that we may associate with those who are engaged in discussing your pastimes. We pray for this benediction life after life in different bodily forms and on different planets. Om Majanata Maranda Shaganjana Shalakaya Chakshu Umbritamiena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayarupagramayam Dadati Swavadantikam Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadha Shri Vasari Gaura Bhaktivrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare. Well, according to the purport, that's exactly what we should be doing, and it is the perfection of life, chanting Hare Krishna together, chanting the glories of the Lord. As ever, it's always amazing. Obviously, I read this purport before I sat down here today, but then even reading the purport again, something jumps out at me that didn't jump out of me. The first time that I read it. If I can quickly find it. Anyway, it's the point about devotees not interested in transferal to the spiritual world, or devotees not interested in getting out of the cycle of birth and death, actually. That was the one, if I can find that quickly. Is somebody reading the purport on some device as well? Very last sentence, is it? Oh, no, it's repeated there, actually, right? Very last sentence in the last paragraph, yeah? Yeah, the pure devotee is not anxious to stop the repetition of birth and death. I think it's mentioned earlier. It just really jumped at me earlier. Anyway, it's there somewhere, even though I can't find it, as usual. So we're not interested in that. Hey, Hare Krishna, bro. Sorry, I just saw someone I hadn't seen for a long time from another part of the world, Hare Krishna. A pure devotee is not interested in that. And the reason it jumped out at me, of course, is that I'm very interested in that. So, you know, the conclusion is that I'm not a pure devotee. I think that should go on the front page of Dhanavad. Maybe it should even go on the front page of, what's the other one called? We won't mention it. But it should go on the front page. Hey, I'm not a pure devotee. So, you know, here are the Pachetas speaking, and of course they performed a couple of things. One is where they are, you know, that they're spending, what was it, millions of years, billions of years, whatever it was. It sounded like even longer than the lifetime of Lord Brahma, which, you know, isn't too long, as we know, it's just a flick of an eyelid. But anyway, it sounded like it was longer than the lifetime of Lord Brahma that they were spending in, like, the topmost heavenly kingdom. And here they are praying to remain in the service of the Lord, even though they're in this incredible situation. And of course, they've just come from, was it 10,000 years of austerities? You know, 10,000 years of austerities, what's the big deal? You know, 10,000 years, you know, flashes past very quickly. And, you know, the fact that it's, was it underwater, in the seawater? You know, what's the big deal, you know, drinking lots of seawater or whatever, getting up your nose or whatever it might be, you know, hey, what's the problem? So they've come from that situation of performing those incredible austerities. Now, this is the one of the boons that they get, but their consciousness is such that they just want to remain in the service of the Lord. And here am I, sitting, speaking to all of you wonderful Vaishnavas, and all I'm thinking of is, you know, when can I get out of this material world? And then the purport's telling me that I shouldn't be interested in that at all, and, you know, should only be interested in being able to serve the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So, Also, just to mention this, I just love these kind of different things just in relation to our challenges in ISKCON and our challenges in preaching the message of given to us by Srila Prabhupada and the message of the previous acharyas. That Narada Muni, previously in the previous chapter, he's talking to King, he's preaching to King Prachanabharashat, but you know, because he's a king, he has a false ego. Actually, I should retract that statement, you know, because every single one of us has a false ego. You don't have to be a king to have a false ego. But somehow or other, when you're a king, you know, there's this kind of general understanding that your false ego increases. But if you want to have a big false ego, then don't become the king of Norway, just as an aside, it just flashed into my mind. Because the king of Norway, just to let you know, he walks around in ordinary clothes. He has no bodyguards, unlike some personalities here in Mayapur. Anyway, did I say that? Did I actually say that? Anyway, you know, the king of Norway, he has no bodyguards. And he walks around in his ordinary clothes around the streets of Oslo. Maybe that's changed since that lunatic guy went and shot loads of people, although maybe not because they've caught him and he's in prison. He's not in prison. Actually, in Norway, wait till you hear this one. In Norway, they have a prison. And I've seen it on the internet. I haven't been in it, I promise. Or maybe I was visiting someone once. Anybody here from Norway? No. Okay. So anyway, this prison in Norway, in Oslo, outside Oslo, it's extraordinary. It's better than the best 6-star hotel that you can imagine. It's extraordinary. You know, everybody has their own room, and their own room is like not just a room, it's like an apartment that's probably as big as this room. You have your living quarters, you have your sleeping quarters, you have your recreational quarters, you have, you know, 3,055 channels on your TV, you know, you have your little kitchen for cooking whatever you want to cook, etc., etc. And if you get bored, you can go down to the library, or you can go down to the gym, or you can go down to the swimming pool, or whatever it is. Anyway, that's one of the prisons in Norway where probably that chap that killed 100 people is spending his time. But hey, his liberty is being denied him. He can't walk outside that prison. Well, he can walk outside the building onto the, you know, 3,000 acres of parkland, but he can't walk outside that. So, you know, it's a pretty severe sentence that he's got. Anyway, the king of Norway, if you want to have a big false ego, then don't become the king of Norway, because he's just an ordinary guy. Make sure you become the, you know, the king of England or somewhere like that, where, you know, you get lots of special treatment. So Narada Muni is preaching to King Prachanabharashat. And it's really interesting because kings, as I say, have this reputation of having a false ego. The whole goal is that Narada Muni wants to get the message across of Krishna consciousness, of service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That's the actual goal of the preacher, the person presenting Krishna consciousness to every living entity. So what does he do? He preaches indirectly to the king by creating the whole story of King Paranjan, and preaches, delivers the whole message of Krishna consciousness in a non-confrontational way. Because once you get into a confrontational situation with somebody, they won't hear the message anymore. You're just wasting your time. They won't actually hear the message. And if our goal, just like our goal here as pure devotees, is we don't care where we reside as long as we can remain in the service of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Likewise, if we want to be followers of Srila Prabhupada, our goal is to give the message of Krishna consciousness to people. Sorry, not just to give the message of Krishna consciousness, but for them to receive the message of Krishna consciousness. And for them to receive the message of Krishna consciousness, it's absolutely useless if you find yourself in a false ego battle with any given person, whoever that may be, including, you know, the lowest of mankind, you know, the material scientists, etc. So, anyway, I just wanted to make that point, because this is just the chapter following on from that. So here we have the Brachetas, as mentioned, that they're just wanting to remain, and the purport, of course, tells us, or even the verse tells us, that the goal is, the benediction is, to be able to associate with those engaged in discussing your pastimes. And of course we learn from Bhagavad Gita, Madhyata, Madhyata, Prana, Bhutanyata, Parasparam, that our goal, just to be able to do that, to be able to just sit together and discuss the pastimes of the Supreme Personality of God, to chant the glories of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and to actually derive satisfaction from that. Not that we're wanting it to end and we're looking at the watch for our next engagement, whatever that engagement may be, but for it to come to an end is actually a great disappointment to our hearts if it has to be interrupted for whatever reason, etc. So again, if we don't find, I often quote the verse also from Bhagavad Gita when I speak, is etam vibhutam yogam cha mamayo vetitatvataha zovikalpena yogena yujate nachasamshaya. And that verse is telling us that if you understand Krishna's glories, if you understand his supreme position, if you understand his mystic opulences, if you actually understand who Krishna actually is, if you understand that, then you will be engaged. This is Krishna speaking, of course, to Arjuna. You will be engaged in unalloyed devotional service. Of this there is no doubt. And of course, unalloyed devotional service, some people tell me that Prabhupada saw that on the side of a truck in America when he first arrived. It was a steel truck or something, and it had unalloyed steel. And Prabhupada liked that word because it means pure. It means it's not contaminated with anything. It's unalloyed. So he uses that word, unalloyed devotional service. So that's devotional service 24/7, never ever stopping thinking about Krishna, Krishna's pastimes, Krishna's service, like that. So if we understand who Krishna is, then that's what we will do. So conversely, if we don't understand who Krishna is, or another way of putting it, if we're not engaged 24/7 in pure, unalloyed devotional service, if we're not always engaged in that way, then we can understand that we don't actually understand who Krishna is. And to the degree that there's a differential, just like those pan balance scales, you put one weight on one side, the other side goes up like that. So to the degree that there's a differential between us engaging in pure, unalloyed devotional service, to that same degree, we are not convinced of Krishna, his position, his glories, who he actually is. And if you bring the scale right down to the non-devotees, the atheists, they don't accept the existence of a god or like that. So depending on where we are, assuming as devotees, we can bring it up somewhat, but depending on where we are in that scale, to that same degree, we're not convinced about who Krishna is. And as long as we're not convinced about who Krishna is, we can always slip back the other way. Always slip back the other way, and ultimately we could find ourselves, you know, being that lowest of mankind again. A little bit earlier, and I just want to read from it, because again, as I say, we can all determine ourselves, you know, where we actually are on that scale. But a little earlier, we see in the same chapter, text 18 in the purport, and the Pachetas again are speaking, and I'll read the first few sentences. By the grace of the Lord, the Brachetas were given special facilities. Although they could live millions of years to enjoy material facilities, they still would not be deviated from the transcendental loving service of the Lord. Being thus fully engaged, the Brachetas would be completely freed from all material attachment. So, of course, we know that once we have a material body and all the things that come with a material body, and the big thing that comes with them, of course, is material desire and the desire for labha, puja, and pratishtha, fame, profit, and distinction. So by being completely engaged in the service of the Lord, the Pachetas will become free from all material attachment. Material attachment is very strong. Material attachment is very strong. During one lifetime, not one's lifetime, but just during one lifetime, during a lifetime, a materialist engages in acquiring land, money, friends, society, friendship, love, and so on. So just having a material body means we have lives in that body. And when we have a life, this is what tends to happen. We acquire these things. And unless they're engaged in the service of the Lord, unless we understand that they have to be, how they should be, and that we have that science down, then they will become just a massive impediment in our lives, in our devotional lives, in progressing in our devotional lives, and become a major obstacle for us. Bhaktivam Yagyatapa Shamsavaloka Maheshwaram. We understand from Bhagavad Gita how we're meant to use things in Krishna's service, and Krishna is the ultimate beneficiary of everything in the material and spiritual world. Once we take something for ourselves, then we're in conflict with that, and that conflict will lead to difficulties in our spiritual life. Once we take something for ourselves and we're not using it in Krishna's service. Udared atmanatmanam natmanam uvasharayet. The mind is our greatest friend, it's our worst enemy. The mind is always telling us, how often have you had this thought? Oh, what will I do when I get older and I can't work? Do I have enough money in the bank? Do I have a pension? You know, do I have two or three properties so I can rent two of them out and live in one so that I have enough Lakshmi to... How many times do those thoughts go through our head? So that's the mind creating for us an insecurity. The whole nature of the material world is that we feel insecure, or material consciousness is that we feel insecure. Now, of course, some provision has to be made, and we know that the different provisions given by the previous acharyas as to how that should be done. And as long as we follow that example, then we will be fine. But ultimately as well, from a philosophical point of view, we know and understand that there is no security in the material world. It just does not exist. Prabhupada tells us there is no satisfaction in the material world. There is no enjoyment in the material world, and also the principle of the austerity of satisfaction, which is an amazing concept, because for me it was when I read it, because obviously we all want to be satisfied. Who doesn't want to be satisfied? So why is being satisfied austere? And then Prabhupada explains the reason why being satisfied is austere is because you cannot be satisfied in the material world, therefore it's an austerity, because it literally cannot happen. So I was thinking, again, when reading this verse and purport, I was thinking about it, that, as I said, the mind wants security, etc., but there is no security. The real security, as mentioned, is makchitama katapa, and are engaging in talking and conversing about Krishna and engaging in Krishna's service. We also read, you know, we're here in Mayapur Dham, and we read in Lord Chaitanya's pastimes these different wonderful phrases. I read a phrase the other day where Lord Chaitanya's mercy is like an oasis flooding in the desert. An oasis flooding in the desert-like hearts of the living entity. An oasis flooding in the desert-like hearts of the living entity. I don't know how many of you have ever been in a desert. I was in a desert once, in a place called Marrakesh in Morocco, of all places. And I see Radhika Nagar Prabhu shaking his head. He's from Spain, so he may also have been to Morocco, just across the water, the boat across to Algeciras. In Marrakesh. And, you know, I remember when I was there, the heat was just absolutely extraordinary. It was like 50 degrees was the temperature. Even with shoes on, you really couldn't put your foot on the ground because the heat would immediately burn through the sole of your shoe and burn your foot. It was extraordinary. And I was doing the tourist thing. This was when I was a teenager, by the way. It wasn't last week before I came to Mayapur, just in case. But I was doing the tourist thing, and we went on a camel, and it goes into the desert. And just that memory of that, you know, that if you didn't have all your provisions with you, all the water that you need, etc., etc. You know, so this phrase that, you know, the Lord's mercy is like an oasis flooding in the desert-like hearts of the living entity. And then we read here today about the Pachetas, and they're on such a transcendental platform that even though they're in the heavenly planets, etc., for millions and millions of years, they're just thinking about the service of the Lord. That when I joined the Hare Krishna movement, the Srimad Bhagavatam class, and we all join at different times and different places and different situations, so we all have different experiences. I remember one devotee years ago saying to me, and the English phrase is that first impressions are lasting. Actually, I'll tell you what this was about, just so as it'll give a context to it. One of the temples in the area of the world that I was serving in, this was in the sort of late 80s, maybe the early 90s, they decided to become progressive, you know. And one of their steps of becoming progressive was, I'm not taking a view on this necessarily, it's not a big issue, but one of their steps of becoming progressive was that the ladies and the men in the morning time would circumambulate Tulsi Devi together. Now, of course, it became controversial because it had never been done in our yatra before and whatever, so it became a kind of controversial thing. And I remember one devotee just making the comment, first impressions are lasting. So whoever would come to the temple, a new bhakta or a new bhakti, whatever it may be, whoever would walk in, and that would be their first experience of Mangalarti, they would think that situation to be completely normal, that the men and women would circumambulate Tulsi Devi together. Yet for the 10 years or 15 years or whatever it was prior to that, that I was living in the temple or joined the Hare Krishna movement, that wasn't normal. Actually, the ladies and men did it separately. So for us also, just in terms of the principle of parampara, for passing on the message of Krishna consciousness, it's actually a very important principle to understand that first impressions are lasting. When people come to our temple, or when you talk to somebody who knows nothing about Krishna consciousness, it's actually very, very important what you tell them, because it's likely to embed in their psyche and stay with them for the rest of particularly this lifetime, for the rest of their lifetime. So it's just a very important thing. So anyway, first impressions are lasting. So one of the things for me was that Bhagavatam class was never divorced from everyday devotional life. That was a really, I don't know, a quick show of hands in the room. Would anyone agree with me that when they joined, the Bhagavatam class was never really divorced from your everyday devotional life? Was that an experience that anybody had? It would be an experience that some of you had. Okay, thank you. It's always good to get that. confirmation, otherwise you think, God, what am I talking about? Anyway, so that's good. So I also had that experience. And, you know, I was thinking about this, again, related to our class today. And I think that was the case also for Srila Prabhupada. Because when he was speaking Bhagavatam, that he often connected it. Even actually his Bhagavatam purports and his Chaitanya Charitamrita purports, which are the law books for the next 10,000 years, you will find in some of those purports, you will find Prabhupada talking about the United Nations, about brainwashing, about the relevance of the ISKCON movement in modern day society. So even in Prabhupada's purports, he was actually talking about what you might say are kind of relative subject matters in some respects. So I was reminded of a story that I heard the last time I was here, actually. I think I heard this story. One devotee was telling me that Srila Prabhupada one day was leaving his room just here in the Lotus Building. Where are we now? This is the Lotus Building. Lotus Building, just there. So Prabhupada was leaving his room in the Lotus Building one day, and he was walking along the veranda, and there was one devotee sitting outside his room, and he was on his own actually, and he was hoping to catch a moment with Srila Prabhupada, you know, which is a wonderful meditation, of course, and prepared to sit outside the room maybe 24 hours without eating or sleeping, just to get that moment with Prabhupada, that special moment on your own kind of thing. So wonderful, wonderful meditation from that devotee's perspective. Of course, he got more than he bargained for, because what happened was Prabhupada came out of the room and went to walk along the veranda of the Lotus Building. So the devotee got up and he walked behind Prabhupada, again hoping for, you know, well, that was enough, but if he got an exchange as well, that would be even more wonderful. So a few rooms along, Prabhupada stopped and he listened. And he heard in one of the rooms, he heard that a fan was still on. He could hear a fan whirring around like that. And Prabhupada stopped. And then he turned to this devotee that was with him, that was a little bit behind him, and said, "Oh, you know, a fan is on." You know? And that devotee didn't have the key to the room. I think Prabhupada asked him, you know, who is responsible, as Prabhupada often does. And another big thing, who is responsible? A really common question of Srila Prabhupada in any given situation, who is responsible? And the devotee didn't know, but just acknowledged that it wasn't him that was responsible. Wasn't me. I don't know, Prabhupada, it wasn't me. So Prabhupada indicated that it would be good to have this fan turned off. So the devotee didn't have the key, but he somehow or other managed to put his hand through the lats. They weren't windows in those days, they were just kind of lats. He managed to put his hand through the lats and somehow or other clicked the fan off. So the fan was clicked off. So that was the kind of the end of it. Next day in Bhagavatam class, Prabhupada was giving Bhagavatam class the next day, and he said, just like yesterday, wasting Krishna's energy, leaving fan on, when no one was sitting there, no one was in room, leaving fan on. So an example, a real live example of Srila Prabhupada not divorcing everyday Krishna conscious life from Bhagavatam class. This is all Krishna's energy. We know, you'll have all the environmentalists telling you how we're running out of energy or we're abusing the earth and all these problems that come with the environment. And I'm sure it's all true, or most of it is true. But we were the first environment, when I say we, I don't mean we as the individuals, but you know, the Krishna conscious philosophy was the first environmental movement. How many times, I remember the first time, I think practically the first time, which isn't a good idea really, because sometimes you can frighten people away, like I was saying earlier about Narada Muni preaching to King Prachanabharashat. But I can remember practically the first time, the first night that I spent in the temple, the next morning, you know that experience, the next morning, was it? Anyway, you know, very new to you, getting up at like, you know, 2:30 in the morning. Don't even have to get up at that time anymore now, you know, it's really, God, we were really, you know, hard done by in those days, you know. But anyway, up at 2:30 in the morning, it's like, you know, the day before you join the temple, you're only going to bed at that time, you know. Now suddenly you're getting up at that time, so you know, completely disorientated. And then you go to the bathroom, you know, and you're brushing your teeth. So I'm brushing my teeth in the bathroom, you know. And of course, I leave the tap running, you know. And then, of course, my bhakti leader, who I didn't even know, because only there one night, you know, Prabhu, you're wasting Krishna's energy, turn that tap off, you know. So, you know, in terms of the environment, we knew these things. Krishna conscious philosophy is the perfect presentation of being kind to the environment. So Prabhupada brought this up in class, that this is wasting Krishna's energy, leaving this fan unnecessarily. Then, of course, he pointed to the devotee that that was waiting outside to catch that glimpse of Prabhupada, and he said, you were the rascal, or it was you who was the rascal leaving it on. So this devotee... So that was the mercy that this devotee got. You know, he got the blame for it, you know, even though it wasn't him and he was just waiting outside to get a glimpse of Prabhupada. But anyway, again, not only did Prabhupada bring up the subject, but he was willing to point the finger at who he thought was responsible in the class. I mean, how relevant can you get in relation to our daily devotional lives that these things would be done? But actually, just to finish the story, the next day, I think, or later that day, it just so happened that devotee again was in Prabhupada's company, and he brought up the subject, not in a defensive way, he more brought up the subject that he was in complete anxiety, Srila Prabhupada, I'm in a lot of anxiety because of displeasing you, disappointing you, you thinking that I left the fan on. And Prabhupada said, and then I think the devotee explained that it wasn't really like, or whatever, but Prabhupada then said, no, that's okay, don't be in anxiety. It's a normal position for the spiritual master to chastise the disciple, and it's a normal position for the disciple to be chastised by the spiritual master. Even Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj, he chastised me once when it wasn't my fault. Apparently in a class one time that Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj was giving, he pointed to Srila Prabhupada and said, stop talking, you know. Prabhupada said that actually I wasn't talking, somebody talked to me. You know that experience in class, sometimes someone leans over and they whisper in your ear something, and what you're thinking is, Prabhu, shut up, I just want to listen to class. But you're too polite to say that. So you just allow them to whisper in your ear, and then you acknowledge them. And then the person giving class, they don't see the person whispering in your ear, they just see you acknowledging them and say, okay, hi, and then they think you're the one who's chatting during their class. So that happened with Srila Prabhupada and Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj. So Prabhupada very, very lovingly and very kindly just expressed to this devotee, no, please don't be in anxiety, there's really no issue whatsoever. But anyway, Prabhupada bringing up that example and making Bhagavatam relevant to our daily lives. So then I was thinking further, in relation to that principle of the Bhagavatam becoming relevant to our daily lives. And I'm thinking that, as you know, or some of you may know, that, you know, I come to Mayapur once a year. Well, sorry, I come to Mayapur at least twice a year, sorry. I come to Mayapur at least twice a year, Krishna willing and Krishna's mercy. But when I come at this time, I spend, you know, a reasonable amount of time related to my service here. Usually this time is about 10 weeks like that. In relation to that point, I was reading recently the pastime, which I mean, all the pastimes, how can you say, I think it's a wonderful pastime, which tends to, you know, imply that there's another pastime that isn't wonderful, you know? This is a wonderful pastime. That other pastime, by the way, you know, I wish they could omit that from the annals of Vaishnava history. It's not wonderful. All the pastimes are wonderful, of course, but some of them, for whatever reason, they're more relevant to you, they hit you more, they're like that. So this pastime, I'm sure you know, but I'm going to give a little bit of an overview of it and how, again, making it relevant to our own lives in Krishna consciousness. And we often understand also, and Srila Prabhupada explains like that, that we're all part of Lord Chaitanya's army. We're all part of his Sankirtan army. This is real. This is happening. You know, it's not some kind of thing that we're just doing as an occupational aside, and normal life will resume in a certain period of time. No, this is it. This is our life. This is real. And we're so fortunate to be part of Lord Chaitanya's army. So the pastime that I'll give a little overview on is the pastime of Gopinath Patanayaka, who was the brother of Ramananda Roy, the Roy family. And what happened to him, and how he found himself being hoisted on the changa, I think is how you pronounce it. And the changa, which obviously this is only 500 years ago, and I see Madhavananda Prabhu here today, and maybe he can comment at some point, but you know, that's only 500 years ago. The way it's described in Chaitanya Charitamrita, it's not given a huge description, but the description that it is given, it kind of strikes me as being a pretty horrific kind of thing, the changa. As I vision it, it's kind of like, you ever see those Wild West movies when, you know, they catch a baddie and he's convicted, and they build a platform for hanging him. And on the platform, he's standing on the platform, and he stands on a particular part of the platform that's a trapdoor. And then they pull some catch. They put the rope around his neck. They pull some catch. The trapdoor falls from underneath him. He falls into thin air, and he gets hung and dead like that. So the description of the changa, as I see it, it's like a platform that you stand on. They don't put a rope around your neck, but they pull the platform from under you, and underneath the platform is like a bed of nails, it's like a bed of swords. And you fall on the swords. Hey, it's in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, ladies, you know, it's don't look so, you know. And wait till you hear what comes next. If you think the changa's bad, wait till you hear what comes next. So Gopinath Patanayaka, part of the Roy family, you know, pure devotees. We're reading about pure devotees here. Pure devotees don't care whether they go to heaven. You know that reference we always hear from Bhagavatam. Pure devotees don't care whether they go to heaven or hell. If they go to hell and they're in a situation of blazing molten fire or whatever the case may be, they don't care. You know, as long as they can talk about Krishna and tell everybody about Krishna. How many of you have that realization that, hey, you know, I can't wait to get to hell. It's going to be wonderful. You know, it's going to be like... Anyway, so it will be wonderful. Makchita makchita prana, it will be wonderful. It's amazing, isn't it? It will actually be wonderful as long as we can hold on to that realization. It will be wonderful. Anyways, so the changa. You ready? The changa. What happened with Gopinath? He was working for the government, working for the king. And he somehow or another, apparently, allegedly... You know, these words, allegedly, we have to use these words, allegedly and apparently and maybe. We can't say definitely, just in case he didn't, and then we're guilty of a wrongful accusation. Anyway, allegedly, Gopinath had misappropriated 200 kahanas of conch shells. 200,000, not 200, 200,000. Anyway, the principle is he apparently, allegedly misappropriated this. And what he should have returned, like collecting taxes from people and then you give it to the government. Prabhupada gives that example like the postman all the time, that you just collect these things and pass these things on like that, you don't take them for yourself. But allegedly, he had taken 200,000 of them for himself. And the king's son, whose name slips my mind, but the king's son, he had pulled up Gopinath on this and arrested him and said, you have misappropriated 200,000 kahanas of conch shells, so therefore... You're arrested, you're guilty, and you are going to be raised on the changa. And raised on the changa means that you're standing on this trapdoor, just waiting for someone to pull the catch, that you fall through onto all these swords, you know. Do they normally die on the changa when they pull the... I presume so, you know. And almost it's like worse than hanging. Hanging seems slightly more civilized, if that's the right word. We can have a discussion about what's the best way to die. Does it matter? Does it really matter? Anyway, the changa. So he's raised on the changa. So all these devotees, first I think it was Shroop Damodar Maharaj, comes to Lord Chaitanya and says, says, my lord, Gopinath Patanayaka has been raised on the Changa. Please help him, like that. And Lord Chaitanya says, why is he being raised on the Changa? Why is he being raised on the Changa? And I'm going to get this out of my pocket so I don't misquote Shastra. He says, why has he been raised on the Changa? And the devotees explain, well, the reason he's been raised on the Changa is that apparently he has misappropriated 200,000 kahanas of conch shells. And Lord Chaitanya's response? Wait, hear this one. He's on the Changa. But remember, you know, he's on the Changa, that horrible thing called the Changa that we just described, that you, both of these ladies, you're not looking, both of these ladies at the front here, when I explained what the Changa was, they both went simultaneously, one of those kind of moments, you know, simultaneously they both went, like that. So, you know, they don't like the Changa. If they're going to hell, they don't want to go to hell via the Changa. They want to go via some other route, right? Okay. So, Lord Chaitanya says, oh, Gopinath Patanayaka does not want to pay the king the money that he is due. How then is the king at fault in punishing him? And I'm adding a little purport on this. Pull the catch. Let the Changa begin. Gopinath Patanayaka does not want to pay the king. The Lord Chaitanya is asking a question. Gopinath Patanayaka does not want to pay the king the money that he's due. Oh, how then is the king at fault for punishing him? Now, isn't that amazing? Don't you think that's amazing? Gita Nagari and Ganagamya Prabhu are both shaking their heads and saying, no, they don't think it's amazing. Okay, fantastic. I'm really glad that you're on that page. The story goes on. And Gopinath comes up with a plan how to repay. He has some horses. You know what it's like. You're standing on the Changa, you know, and you owe this person money. And your mind starts really ticking over very, very quickly, you know. Well, you know, I've got an apartment in Benidorm, or, you know, I've got an apartment in Krishnanagar, or I've got an apartment in Mayapur. I've got two apartments in Mayapur. I can afford to sell one of them, you know, and pay off my debt, you know, the 200,000 kahanas of conch shells. So he's thinking quickly. He thinks, I've got some horses. So he tells the king's not involved in this. You know, the king's not involved, King Prataparudra. He's not involved directly in this at all. He is told, I think, that someone hasn't paid a bill, and he says, well, then you just go, you follow due process. But he doesn't know who, and he doesn't know the story. And then Gopinath says, I've got some horses, and he offers the horses to the king's son, the prince, who has arrested him and put him on the Changa. And the king looks at the horses, or whatever, and does whatever assessment he does with the horses, and he looks at the horses, and then he concludes, he says, no, these horses aren't very good horses, you know, they're not worth very much, you know. And he tells them what he thinks they're worth. And Gopinath knows that that's a complete undervaluation of his horses. He knows that they're worth a lot more. And now Gopinath, pure devotee as he is getting a little frustrated, you know. He's on the Changa, he's about to go, you know, he's come up with a plan to repay the debt, you know, and now his horses have been undervalued. He's been told they're only worth half of what they're actually worth. And he notices that the king's son has a twitch, you know. Maybe we should change. Maybe we should turn the Chaitanya Charitamrita into some sort of, you know, comedy series for Chandranand Prabhu. Is really, this is all there. I'm not exaggerating. So, and then he says to the king's son, he says, "My horses don't have a twitch. They should be worth more." Anyway, this is not convincing. This is not actually convincing the king's son, and he wants to go through with the punishment of the Changa. Anyway, so it goes on, the story goes on, and different pleas are made, and then all of the family of Gopinath are arrested. So it's not just Gopinath now that's on the Changa, all his family are being threatened. So that's including, you know, Bhavananda Roy's father, I presume Ramananda Roy's brother, like this. So then the devotees go to Lord Chaitanya again, and they plead with Lord Chaitanya again and say, Lord, you know, please do something, this is a really terrible situation, you know. And Lord Chaitanya, he says, so what do you want me to do? You want me to go as a sannyasi and start pleading for money? He says, maybe I can do that for 5 gandhas, I think. Maybe I can do that for 5 gandhas, which I presume is a very little amount of money, just to maybe buy yourself some food or something like that, that's bona fide for a sannyasi to do. But basically Lord Chaitanya is saying, but you want me to prostitute myself for 200 kahanas? He says, and he's getting really, I'm a simple beggar, I'm a sannyasi, you know? So, you know, don't come to me with this thing. Now this is the whole Rai family have been arrested, and this is Lord Chaitanya's response. Of course, he gives an alternative. He says, you go and ask Lord Jagannath. They're in Jagannath Puri. You go and ask Lord Jagannath. He's completely independent. I'm a sannyasi. I have social duties. I have, you know, like that. You go and ask Lord Jagannath to solve this problem like that. So they go to Lord Jagannath, etc. And what time are we actually? 5 to 9. Wow. Okay. I'll truncate. So they got the solution. There is a solution. And Gopinath Patan, the King Prataparudra is informed of exactly what's happening, who's involved, etc. And King Prataparudra, he gets involved and he rectifies the whole thing. And Gopinath Patanayaka, not only does he not fall on the changa, you'll like this one, ladies, you'll give a smile now, but he gets his salary doubled. The king doubles his salary, you know, when he finds out what's happening. And the king, of course, just wants to win Lord Chaitanya's favor, etc. Not his favor, but his mercy, etc., etc. So, but then Lord Chaitanya says, my last two quotes from Shastra, when it's, the whole thing is kind of being resolved, Lord Chaitanya makes these two statements. And I think that Gitanagari Prabhu and Ganagami Prabhu are going to like these ones too. Lord Chaitanya says, the revenue of the government is more sacred than the property of a Brahmin. This is Lord Chaitanya speaking. The revenue of the government is more sacred than the property of a Brahmin. I have a question. How many of you have ever avoided some aspect or some amount of taxes that you should have paid to the government? How many of you have done that in your life? The revenue of the government is more sacred than the property of a Brahmin. Lord Chaitanya speaking, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The ocean that floods the desert like hearts of all living entities is speaking. The revenue of the government is more sacred than the property of a Brahmin. And then when Gopinath is freed and everything is done, another statement. Lord Chaitanya speaking. One who serves the government but misappropriates the government's revenue is liable to be punished by the king. That is the verdict of all revealed scriptures. Now, we spin forward 524 years, are we? Something like that, whatever. Well, of course, Lord Chaitanya, this is 480 years or whatever, we spin forward, because this was in Lord Chaitanya's Jagannath Puri pastimes. We spin forward. Could we change that sentence? Could I be as bold to suggest a slight modification to that last quote that I read? Modern day 2013, Navadvip, Mayapur, as opposed to Jagannath Puri in 1490 or 1520 or whatever the exact date was. One who serves ISKCON Mayapur but misappropriates ISKCON Mayapur's revenue is liable to be punished by the GBC. That is the verdict of all revealed scriptures. So making Bhagavatam relevant for our daily lives, we are all part of Lord Chaitanya's Sankirtan army. We are all devotees. We know Kiba Vipa Kiba Nasi Sujakena Naye Krishna Tatvadetze Guru Hai. Lord Chaitanya makes no distinction between Kshatriyas, Brahmanas, Vaishyas, and Sudras. no distinction whatsoever. Lord Chaitanya, all of us are eternal spirit souls, and we're all engaged in the eternal service of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Why did we join the Hare Krishna movement? Why? Why did you? One devotee told me one time, he had a very good friend, they joined together, and 10 years later the friend left. And I asked, why did he leave? And he left, he said, because we were on Harinam one day, it was in London, we were on Harinam one day, and it was a nice sunny day, which, you know, hey, there's a rarity. But anyway, we were on Harinam one day in London, nice sunny day, and we were going along, you know, dancing along, like Harinam, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. And the devotee noticed the shadow from the sun, the shadow shining like that, and catching his shadow and showing his own shadow on the ground. And he had shaved head and a big sika. So he had a shaved head, big sika. And because he was dancing down, you know, the sika was bumping around like this. And he said, and he saw himself in the shadow. He thought, what am I doing? Reminds me of a song. What am I doing here? What am I doing? This was what the devotee was thinking to himself. Why am I dressed in these weird clothes? I have a shaved head. I've got a sikha right now. And he left. So our realization, it has to be deep, and it has to ever be going deeper for us to remain in this devotional service of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. It is not a mechanical thing, Niyamagraha. It's not something that just happens. It's nothing we have. And we are Prabhupada Nugas. So why did we join the Hare Krishna? Personally, me, I got a science of self-realization. I didn't actually get it from a devotee. I saw it in someone's house. The first thing I saw, actually, I was at a drug party, actually, and it was about 2:30 in the morning, believe it or not, time to get up for Mangalarti, and I was getting a little bored, and I was rooting around the person's room, and I saw a box in the corner. I looked in the box, and there were Chaitanya Charitamritas in the box. I had no idea what they were. I looked, all I could do was look at the pictures, the color plates, and I was amazed. They just look extraordinary pictures, but I couldn't place them. I couldn't place them. I couldn't figure out, were they fictional? You know, were they sci-fi? Were they religious? Were they? I just couldn't place them. They just looked. I'd never seen anything like them before, but they really caught my attention. And then beside them was A Science of Self-Realization, which I actually started to read. And I read a few paragraphs. And in one of the paragraphs I read, I was suffering at this stage. You know, you've taken LSD, whatever, smoking dope, you're all paranoid. You know, anyone who's done that, I'm sure many of you have, you know the feeling, you know, you're all kind of a nervous wreck. You know. And I read in the Science of Self-Realization, you are not this body. I thought, wow, that's a powerful statement. And then the very next sentence, you are not the mind. I thought, wow, that's it. That was it. Just reading that sentence was it for me. That's when I actually joined, if you like, the Hare Krishna movement. Like that. So we all had these incredible realizations that just changed our lives, and then we went from these degraded lifestyles to suddenly doing something extraordinary, like shaving our heads, wearing these clothes, and going out and chanting Hare Krishna on the streets. Extraordinary change, transformation to our lives. We've got to try and hold on to that. If we don't hold on to that, then we're in trouble, actually. We're in trouble if we don't hold on to that. And we've got to hold on to it. And we've got to try and increase it, increase and deepen that realization at all time. So this is Srila Prabhupada's ISKCON, and this is ISKCON's world headquarters. And in the festival booklet that we got when we arrived here, you all got that festival booklet? No? Okay. You. On the second page or something, it says offenses against the Holy Dham. Offenses against the Holy Dham. And number 3 or number 5, one of the offenses is to commit an offense to anybody in the Holy Dham, even a pilgrim. So forget about Dhamvasis and residents of the Holy Dham, even a pilgrim that visits. For us to commit an offense against that person is an offense to the Holy Dham. Then either 3 or 5, for us to make profit while in the Holy Dham, or to make profit on the back of the Holy Dham, is an offense against the Holy Dham. Gaurkishore Das Babaji says, if we think that we can own even a grain of sand of the Holy Dham, if we have a thought process that thinks we can own something here, we are in complete illusion, and we are offensive to the Holy Dham. We are all part of Srila Prabhupada's ISKCON. We all have responsibility to Srila Prabhupada, regardless of our vana and regardless of our ashram. We all have responsibility. And we need to preach, at the very least, to those who are in illusion about those 2 points that I've just mentioned. Because according to Lord Chaitanya, if you misappropriate the government's money, and the government is using money for healthcare, education, chauffeur-driven cars for their ministers, all of these kind of things. Yet if you misappropriate it, as I read, if you misappropriate the government's money, you're liable to be punished by the king. That is the verdict of all revealed scriptures. Can we imagine what it is to misappropriate Srila Prabhupada's money? Anyway, that was my attempt to make the Bhagavatam relevant for our daily lives. They shouldn't be separated. Everything that we do in spiritual life should have a purpose and a relevance like that. And it should connect to our philosophy, our culture, and the instructions of the previous acharyas, and in particular the instructions of Srila Prabhupada. Hare Krishna! Ganakami Vru. Regarding what comment? Okay, I hope you'll forgive me. I'm actually not going to answer that question in the context of a detail, but I will make a comment. And my comment is, as we're seeing in the life of the Prachetas, as we see in the life of all devotees, actually, that are glorified in Bhagavatam or glorified in Chaitanya Charitamrita, etc., that the external circumstances and conditions and the external arrangements that are in place are secondary. What's important is the motivation in the heart. And ultimately, any arrangement or any given situation can be transcendentalized and can be purified and can be made to work for Krishna. It's all about having that realization, the simple, simple realization and motive and intent that everything I have and everything I control and everything I have access to, I want to use it in the service of the Lord, not in the service of my sense gratification. And once that principle underpins, then any other arrangement can actually work. But as I say, because it is Bhagavatam class, I won't go into the detail of answering that question, but it can work. But really what I was just wanting to raise today was the simple principle that we need to understand why we're here, what the Hare Krishna movement is about, what the instructions of the previous acharyas are, and particularly in the pastime of the Changa, to understand that Lord Chaitanya was the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He was in the renounced order of life, but he was giving a very super clear instruction in relation to this particular subject matter. But thank you very much for your question. Srila Prabhupada ki, Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Gaur Premanandi.